You know, we're just 2 months into the new year. You know, and as you look ahead, think about, you don't know what you're going to face or what you come up against. But there's one thing I know. If we maintain a confession of faith, we'll come out victorious. And I'm probably going to talk to you tonight about things that you already know about. But I learned from a fellow that I'm named after that you need to keep talking to people and reminding them people of certain truths, or the enemy will steal it from them with all the pressures of life and all that's going on. Now let's look at Numbers 13:26. Now they departed and came back, Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them of all the and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb stilled the people and quieted them before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we've gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it were men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in theirs." Now, here is the report of the spies that went into the Canaan's land. Now, 10 of them came back with one report. 2 came back with a different report. Caleb and Joshua said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it." The rest of the guys, the other 10, said, "We can't do it. That generation of Israelites believed what the 10 said, and they never went in the promised land." If you want a title for this, words bring victory or defeat. Caleb said, "We are well able to overcome it." If you go on reading there, Joshua went on and said, he said, we can take the land. Their defense is departed from them. The Easy English Version said, "We will certainly be able to do it." The Rotherham Version says, "We shall surely prevail against it." The New Living Translation says, "We can certainly conquer it." But even though God had promised them the land, only 2 of the old generation ever saw the promised land, and it had to do with their words. We can't, and we are well able to do it. The key to whether you receive the promises of God that he has in his word here is up to what you say out of your mouth. My dad said this all the time. He said, "Few people realize that our confession rules us." And he also said that we need to keep reminding people that the confession out of your mouth is the most important thing that you can do after you get salvation in the Spirit. Confession determines how much of this promised land that you possess. You see, this is our promised land right here. We're possessing the land just like they had to possess it. Now, Caleb and Joshua, they made a confession of faith based on what God had said. God said, I'm giving you the land. And they believed what he said, and they just fell in line with what God said. Yeah, he said we can do it, we can. Now, if you get on over Numbers 14, after they had decided that they wasn't going to go into promised land, even if you read there in that whole 13 and 14, if you'll read, you'll find out that they got so upset at Joshua and Caleb because they were speaking words of faith that they wanted to stone them. And finally, in verse 28, God said to Moses, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Now, if you read some of the other there, they said, oh, why'd you bring us out here? We're going to die in this wilderness and so forth and so on. And God said, okay, that's what you say. That's what you want. That's what you're going to get. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness, and all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. Here he said, look, you're not going to get there. I swore that we're going to have the land, but because of what you have said, you'll never make it there. Here we see 10 spies talking doubt and unbelief, 2 talking words of faith, and the group believed the 10. The people's words revealed what they believed. They had no faith in what God said. Caleb and Joshua revealed that they had faith in what God had said. Their words, both of these, Caleb and Joshua and the generation of Israelites, both of these, what they were saying was an indicator of how much they believed what God said. In other words, like we might say it today, this generation of Israelites here were saying, we don't believe you. We don't believe that you can give us the land. Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, we can take it. We believe what he said. Their words indicated their willingness to believe God and follow his plan. They signed, sealed, and delivered their destiny with their words. Excuse me just a minute. I got a tickle in my throat. I'm going to cough here. Our words either bring us defeat or bring us victory. The Israelites' words of doubt stopped them from going to the promised land. Now, when you get to the end of the story of the old generation, you read there in Joshua chapter 1, God told Joshua, he said, all right, it's time for you to, Moses is gone, it's time for you to get these people and go across the Jordan and take the promised land. So Joshua began to tell these from See, people from 20 years and older had all passed away. These were whenever there. So now these were the one, these was the younger generation. And if you'll read there, you'll find out that Joshua began to tell them what God said about going across the River Jordan and so forth, about how they were to do it and what they were to do. The people there in that last verse of that first chapter of Joshua, those people that had lived in the wilderness because their ancestors refused to go in, they told Joshua, you can read it there in that last chapter, they said, if anybody refuses to follow the words of the Lord, or the words that the Lord gives you, we're gonna kill them. We're going to get rid of them. They were tired of the wilderness, and they weren't willing to stay there anymore. And they said, we're going with God no matter what. And anybody that don't want to go with us, we're going to leave them over here for dead. Read it. Hello? Oh, I got to go read it. Y'all looking at me so funny. I go back here and get it and read it to you. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, the last clause. Whosoever he be that doth not rebel, against the commandments and will not hearken to the words in all the command that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only strong, be strong and courageous. That's them telling Joshua, listen, if they don't go along with it, we're not going to put up with it. You know, we need to get to that point that we are not going to put up with letting words come out of our mouth that will destroy us. You see, now the Bible doesn't say so. Now Joshua and Caleb made this confession when they came back. The Bible doesn't say so. But I believe they maintained this confession of faith throughout that 40 years. Anytime they talked to anybody, they told them, yeah, we could be over in the promised land right now. And I say that because 40 years later, Joshua led the next generation into the promised land. And 45 years later, Caleb went to Joshua and said, give me that mountain. The mountain that he had been promised. And Joshua said, wait a minute, Caleb. You old now. The giant's in that mountain. Caleb said, I'm well able. Why did he have those words coming out of his mouth? I'm well able. Because he was talking about he was well able to accomplish what God had already told him he could have. You know, many people make a confession of faith for a short time, but hey, man, you have to maintain a confession of faith when you don't see it, just like the song was talking. You know, anyone can confess the scripture for a day or two, but man, when your back's against the wall and there's no way out, you got to keep confessing what the word says. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel or whatever, you got to keep saying what God said. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Hello? That's in my Bible right here in the front of my Bible. I got it from my dad. It right here. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. K.E. Hagin, K.W. Hagin. Hello? Greg may have it wrote in his, I don't know. But I learned it. I lived it with him growing up in his house. And now I have lived it all of these years. And I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't make any difference, because assuredly I say unto you, whosoever says this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. I believe that. And I know you've heard that scripture many times. But let me ask you a question. Do you still have the same excitement level when you hear that scripture now as you did the first time that you really got a hold of that revelation of faith? Sometimes we don't. Our confession rules us. This verse right here and many others tell us that. We have to consistently say what the Bible says. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I believe that. And I put it into practice. I don't believe that there's anything that you can't accomplish if you'll trust God and the Word. Oh, yeah, spiritually. No, I'm talking about in the natural. I've put it to practice in the natural. Done it lots of times. Somebody say to me, can you do this? You know, and it was on a job. I said, yeah, I can do it. Why? I believed God could help me. I don't know. Yesterday. I went to the store. I think it was the day before yesterday. I went to the store, Walmart, over by where I live. And I pulled in and I saw a spot here. So I went, you know, because it's one way. Well, I went around and was coming back up. And this guy, as I was coming back up, this guy was going around. He whipped in from the wrong direction and backed up a couple, three times and pulled into space. And I said, all right now, Lord, that was my spot. Now, where's my other one? And I just felt to go around this way. And I went right around the corner, and there was a guy backing out, took a spot. I was just as good. But you see, somebody said, oh, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do. I've been doing it all my life. Hello. We got to realize God listens to the words we say. How do we know that? Well, he just said right here, when we read this back here a minute ago, so say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Well, he had to be listening because he said he heard what they said. We need to realize God's listening to our words. And you can't talk faith one time and then say, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. It won't work. You got to be consistent with your words of faith coming out your mouth. I don't care how you feel. It don't make no difference how you feel. Feeling ain't got nothing to do with it. Oh, I'm sorry. Feeling has nothing to do with it. I'm sorry. Our words indicate what we really believe in our hearts. You know, we've got to hold on consistently. I mean, all the time. Now I realize y'all have heard all this before, but you just need to be stirred up about it. Because when all the pressures and everything of life comes in on you, sometimes you have a tendency to fall back in the natural instead of staying over on this side. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, period. You know, we've got to consistently hold on to it. Now, in the Ben Campbell Johnson version of this Mark 11:23, it says, truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, dump yourself in the lake, and here's what I want you to get on, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statements. I want you to notice that I like the way it says that, does not become separated. It's easy to become separated from your confession of faith when everything looks like it's going under, when everything doesn't look like nothing is changing, looks like it's all going downhill at 100 miles an hour, you still cannot make a statement that separates you from your original statement. You've got to, if you become separated, it won't happen. It's like you'll have to start all over again. Hello? Now, I grew up in the black land of North Central Texas, and they got a saying down there, if you'll stick with it, when it's dry, it'll stick with you when it's muddy. I don't know whether anybody from the black land of North Central Texas, that's a saying, right? They got down there. Man, I remember when Dad pastored some of them churches down there, and I was, 4 or 5 years old, sick. And we might go out to visit some of the members on the farm, and it didn't want no paved roads. Is this a blackland dirt road? Well, it had been raining, and Dad said, maybe we oughtn't to go, but he said, I'm going to try it anyway. Well, we got a little ways down there. We got stuck. Now, and you get out, and you're pushing the thing, and it's going up, and the wheels are spinning, and, of course, you cut a rut, and you get almost to the top, and everybody runs out of strength, and it slides back down. Now, it's harder than ever because it's a deeper rut. And you keep doing that long enough, you'll go down on the axle and you'll have to go get a tractor to pull you out. That's what happens when you become separated from your original statement you make, and then you make a statement that nullifies it, then it slides back and it becomes harder every time to get there. So just don't slip back. Hold it. Man, I mean, you get that thing up there and everybody's time somebody holler, get a rock and stick it behind the tire so it can't slide back. Hey, I know that's a weird illustration, but I'm trying to show you that you can't become separated if you're going to actualize your faith. Our confession of what we consistently say really reveals our relationship with God. Matthew 12:37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That Ben Campbell Johnson version says, so what you say symbolizes how it is between you and God. Your words either point toward wholeness or toward destruction. Did you get that? Your words either point toward wholeness or toward destruction. So we have to maintain that consistent confession of faith coming out of our mouths. Continually coming out of our mouths. Over and over and over and over and over again, we say it. Hebrews 12:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The New King James says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast our confession of faith. The Message version says, let's keep a firm grip on the promise that keeps us going. He always keeps his word. Now, if you've been around Lynette and I, and I know Anthony and some of the ones that travel on the roads with us, they hear us, when we pray in that aircraft, make confessions. I make a confession for a number of students for the school. I make a confession for the monthly finances that come in. I do it when I pray over my food most of the time. And I unless there's somebody there that wouldn't understand, then I don't. But I'll say it under my breath. Now, you all know we have a 1989 Bombardier aircraft. It's not a new one. I don't need no new one. It does the same job that a new one would do anyway. So we made a confession. Every time that plane flew, every time I was in it, every time I ate my food, for 10 years, the airplane's paid off. We kept confessing it. Now, some people say, well, it didn't happen. Yeah, it did. Let me tell you this. Sure, we thought somebody was going to come in with a big check and pay it off. But we were out on the road 3, 4, 5 years ago now, I guess it was. Huh? I don't know, it's several years, at least 4 years ago. And Lynette, as y'all know, she's in charge of finances, and so she had called in on some stuff, and the accounts payable lady told her, said, well, when we make the payment next month, the plane will be paid off. Well, we rejoiced about it. And in fact, Lynette called, we called her brother, that's the banker in Dallas, and said, oh, Gary, we're paying the plane off. And he said, aren't you excited for us? He said, no. Because, see, he's making money. No, I just thought I'd throw that in. And so Lynette got, we were talking about it, and so she started praying about it. And the Lord said to her, did you ever miss a payment? No. Was any month the payment not there when it was time to pay? She said, no. And the Lord ministered to her and said, if you had not kept up that confession, it wouldn't have been there. Now, I'll tell you that so some of you will keep your confession of faith going. Hello. They believe in God to pay off something. Well, keep believing God that it's paid off. Because, how many understand what I'm trying to tell you? Just because you don't see it the way you think it should be done doesn't mean he's not working. So keep with the confession of faith. We did it. Keep doing it. And we're going to keep making the confessions. Between the time you start believing and the time you see the manifestation of what you're believing for, you have to maintain that constant, consistent confession. The same. Day after day, hour after hour, no matter what happens, you keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. I confess a certain amount of money every month for this ministry. Have we got to that point yet? No, but we're still paying the bills. The church is still open. Hello. When you begin to make that confession of faith, don't let anything keep you from continuing to make that. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you feel. All you need to do is know what the Bible says. Okay? I'm going to say this as I close. Your words either release the power of God or restrict the power of God. Now, I'm going to say it again. Your words either release the power or restrict the power. And you know what? It's not up to God. It's not up to anybody except you, yourself. Words either bring victory or bring defeat. It's up to you. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you that we all know what I was talking about tonight. We've heard it, but we need to hear it again. And we need to stir ourselves up daily to make those confessions of faith, no matter what we see, feel, or anything else. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can stand up if you want to. Did you get anything out of this tonight? I just wanted to remind you again. There wasn't nothing you hadn't already heard. But Peter said, long as he was in his body, he's going to keep reminding his people. How many of you ever heard my dad, Kenneth E. Hagin, speak? In all the times you're hearing him speak, how many times did you hear him speak on Mark 11:23? Bunches, right? Well, I think we got a little taste. Winter Bible Seminar really started tonight, I think, here. But we do need some help in some areas. If everybody just helped one service, then it'd be taken care of. So go out there and get involved, all right? If you happen to be with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve God, but you sort of got a detour off and you need to come back and rededicate your life, or you're here and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, as we dismiss, the ladies are here, the men are over here. If you'll come down to the front, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason whatsoever, come to the front. They'll pray with you. These are our prayer partners that come for Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, and they'll pray for you. We got a lot of prayer partners for different areas around here. So, also, if you're a first-time guest, connection team, go find those first-time guests. Take them to the lobby. We have a special gift for you. We're so glad you came. If you're looking for our church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join our family. We call ourselves the Rhema family. All right. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday right here. And what's the most important thing you can do? Keep saying your confession of faith. God bless. Shake hands with somebody. We'll see you Sunday.